1892, January 1st, 1892. Cooperation with Christ. Ellen G. White. The Sabbath school teacher should be a laborer together with God, cooperating with Christ. Do not be content with a lifeless, formal religion. The object of Sabbath school work should be the ingathering of souls. The order of working may be faultless, the facilities all that could be desired. But if the children and youth are not brought to Christ, the school is a failure. For unless souls are drawn to Christ, they become more and more unimpressionable under the influence of a formal religion. The teacher should cooperate as he knocks at the door of the heart of those who need help. If pupils respond to the pleading of the Spirit and open the door of the heart, that Jesus may come in, he will open their understanding that they may comprehend the things of God. The teacher's work is simple work, but if it is done in the Spirit of Jesus, depth and efficiency will be added to it by the operation of the Spirit of God. There should be much personal work done in the Sabbath school. The necessity of this kind of work is not recognized and appreciated as it should be. From a heart filled with gratitude for the love of God, which has been imparted to the soul, the teacher should labor tenderly and earnestly for the conversion of his scholars. What evidence can we give to the world that the Sabbath school work is not a mere pretense? It will be judged by its fruits. It will be estimated by the character and work of the pupils. In our Sabbath schools, the Christian youth should be entrusted with responsibilities, that they may develop their abilities and gain spiritual power. Let the youth first give themselves to God, and then let them in their early experience be taught to help others. This work will bring their faculties into exercise and enable them to learn how to plan and how to execute their plans for the good of their associates. Let them seek the company of those who need help, not to engage in foolish conversation, but to represent Christian character, to be laborers together with God, winning those who have not given themselves to God. In studying the Scriptures, in manifesting an unselfish interest in others, in doing those things that will please the Savior, you will grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Let every teacher and scholar ask, "What can I do that can be counted as good service to Him who has died that I might live?" The Master gives this answer: "Seek and save that which is lost." You are to work in Christ's way, with patience, with interest, with determination, that you will not feel discouraged as you work for time and eternity, believing that Jesus can do much through human ability consecrated to His service. What higher privilege could we desire than to be laborers together with God, making the most of our entrusted powers, that this very work may be accomplished? When young men and women are so sober-minded and cultivate piety and devotion, they will let their light shine forth to others, and there will be vital power in the church. It would be well to have an hour appointed for Bible study, and let the youth, both converted and unconverted, gather together for prayer and for the relation of their experiences. The youth should have a chance to give expression to their feelings. It would be well to have a judicious leader chosen at first, one who will talk little and encourage a great deal, by dropping a word now and then to help and strengthen the youth in the beginning of their religious experiences. After they have had a little experience, let one of their number take the leadership, and then another. And in this way, let workers be educated that will meet the approval of God. In our efforts to help the youth, we are woefully behind our duty. We have had great light, but we lack in zeal and earnestness, and have not fervency of spirit proportionate to the privileges we enjoy. We must rise above the chilling atmosphere of unbelief with which we are surrounded, and draw nigh to God, that He may draw nigh to us. We must educate the youth, that they may learn how to work for the salvation of souls. And in educating the youth for this work, we shall also learn how to labor more successfully, becoming efficient agents in the hands of God for the conversion of our scholars. We must become imbued with the spirit of earnest labor and lay hold upon Christ, claiming Him as our only efficiency. Our minds must be enlarged that we may have a proper realization of the things pertaining to eternal life. Our hearts must be softened and subdued by the grace of Christ, that we may become true educators. Let superintendents and teachers inquire, do I believe the Word of God? Am I giving myself to Him who hath given Himself for me, suffering a cruel death upon the cross, that I might not perish, but have everlasting life? Do we believe that Jesus is drawing the souls of those around us, even those who are living in impenitence and do not respond to His drawing power? Then, in contrition of soul, say, Master, I will draw with all my powers of influence. I will draw unto Thee. I trust in Thee and in Thee alone to touch and subdue the heart, by the power of the Holy Spirit. February 1, 1892. The Object of Sabbath School Work, Ellen G. White. Christian teachers and students are responsible to God for the gracious privileges they enjoy, for they are to be laborers together with God, bearing a decided testimony to the power of God's saving grace in the sight of earth and heaven. The efficiency and influence of the workers for God will be in proportion to their moral elevation and purity. The true Christian teachers will discern the import of the Sabbath school lesson, for their understanding will be opened to comprehend the gospel. They will let their light shine to those who have taken no interest in the precious rays of truth. The door of the heart must be opened to receive the light shining from the Word. One Christian student who receives the Word of God may be the means of blessing his fellow students. He can be a benefit to others if, patiently and kindly and interestingly, he will go over the lesson with those who do not take an interest in the things of God, and will make his instruction simple and definite. This kind of work will require the exercise of wisdom from above, that the worker may approach those who most need help in an acceptable manner and lead them to Christ, where the wants of the soul may be satisfied. The psalmist says, "The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." If, through the grace of Christ, you can be the means whereby an entrance can be obtained for the Word of God in the heart, your work will not be in vain. When a youth is converted, do not leave him in idleness. Give him something to do in the vineyard of the Master. According to his ability, let him be employed, for the Lord has given to every man his work. Let us cooperate with the Lord in every line, and set in operation every means whereby the powers of those connected with the school may be developed for usefulness. The inhabitants of the world are ranging themselves under the banners of the two leaders of earth's inhabitants: Christ, the Prince of Life, and Satan, the Prince of Darkness, are urging men and women and youth into service. It is the work of the Christian teacher and scholar to make earnest efforts that the ranks of Christ may be continually increased, to invite every soul to stand under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel. Lessons should be taught in the Sabbath school that will shed light into the chambers of heart and mind. And that this may be accomplished, the teachers must be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, that all selfishness may be subdued, that no hasty word may be spoken, no inconsiderate action may be performed, but that the grace of God may be manifested as working with human effort for the salvation of souls. This should be the great end of Sabbath school work. The Sabbath school should not be made a place for controversy. It is not the place to make differences of opinion manifested. Let all this kind of work be kept out of the school, and let harmony be maintained. If ideas are advanced that are questioned by members of the school, let not a combative spirit arise, and discussion and controversy follow. Concluded in next number. March 1, 1892. The Object of Sabbath School Work. Concluded. Ellen G. White. The Sabbath School should be a place where the jewels of truth are searched for and rescued from their environment of error, and placed in their true setting in the framework of the gospel. Precious gems of truth, long lost sight of, are now to be restored to the children of God. The themes of justification by faith, the righteousness of Christ, should be presented in our schools, that the youth and children may understand these important subjects, and teachers and scholars may know the way of salvation. Sacred and eternal principles connected with the plan of salvation have long been lost from sight, but they must be restored to their proper place in the plan of salvation, and made to appear in their heavenly light, and penetrate the moral darkness in which the world is enshrouded. Let the youth take heed to the words of the wise man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Let them walk softly, prayerfully, and carefully before the Lord, in continual dependence upon Him, and at the same time exerting all their powers, improving all their opportunities, trusting to what the Lord can do with their consecrated abilities. Let them inquire at every step, "Is this the way of the Lord?" Humility is a characteristic of those who have true wisdom, and no matter what may be their attainments, they will not be self-confident and boastful. The Lord calls for young men and women to gird themselves for lifelong, earnest labor in the Sabbath school work. Spasmodic efforts will not avail to accomplish much good or to make you successful laborers in the work of God. By patient continuance in well-doing, you are to become laborers together with God. You are to reckon yourselves the servants of God by the day. Be diligent in your work for one day, and see that you make no crooked paths for your feet, lest the lame be turned out of the path of rectitude by your misdoings. The Lord would have teachers in the Sabbath school work who can give wholehearted service, who will increase their talent by exercise and make improvement on what has already been attained. The Lord would have working Christians in His church, for the worker has fewer temptations than those who have little to do. Those who truly believe in Christ will become laborers together with God. They will be governed by His Spirit, their affections will be purified, their passions will be controlled, and precious fruits will appear in their lives for the glory of God. For those who truly believe in Christ will reflect light. New light will ever be revealed on the Word of God to him who is in living connection with the Son of Righteousness. Let no one come to the conclusion that there is no more truth to be revealed. The diligent, prayerful seeker for truth will find precious rays of light yet to shine forth from the Word of God. Many gems are yet scattered that are to be gathered together to become the property of the remnant people of God. But light is not given simply to be a strength to the church, but to be shed upon those who are in darkness. The people of God are to show forth the praises of Him who hath called them out of darkness into His marvelous light. Christ has said of His people, "Ye are the light of the world." And it is the mission of light to shine out and illuminate the darkness. Oh, may teachers and pupils be what the Lord designed that they should be when He gave His life that they might be the sons and daughters of God, and win the crown of immortal glory. April 1, 1892. Heart work in Sabbath school teacher and scholar, Ellen G. White. Every teacher in the Sabbath school should be a follower of Christ, and those who have not identified themselves as the disciples of Christ, showing by a consistent life that they are Christians, should not be invited to become teachers in the Sabbath school. For they have need that someone first teach them the foundation principles of the love and fear of God. Without me, Christ says, ye can do nothing. Then of what value would be the teaching of one who knew nothing by personal experience of the power of Christ? It would be a great inconsistency to urge such a one to take a class in the Sabbath school, but it is even worse to permit a class to be under the influence of a teacher whose dress and deportment deny the Savior, whom they profess to serve. Those who teach in Sabbath school must have their hearts warmed and invigorated by the truth of God, being not hearers only, but also doers of the Word. They should be nourished in Christ as the branches are nourished in the vine. The dews of heavenly grace should fall upon them, that their hearts may be like precious plants, whose buds open and expand and give forth a grateful fragrance as flowers in the garden of God. Teachers should be diligent students of the Word of God and ever reveal the fact that they are learning daily lessons in the school of Christ and are able to communicate to others the light they have received from Him who is the great teacher, the light of the world. Teachers should feel their responsibility and make use of every opportunity to improve, that they may render the best kind of service in a manner that will result in the salvation of souls. Both teachers and pupils should awake to the importance of manifesting industry and perseverance in the study of God's Word. They should be much in communion with God, where petty temptations will not control them, and indolence and apathy will be successfully resisted. No idleness, no self-indulgence should be allowed by those who profess to be Christian workers. Point after point of truth should be investigated, for there is no limitation to the truth of God, and in its study a most lively interest should be felt by both teachers and pupils, that they may know what God hath said. For years the voice of God has been saying to us, agitate, agitate, agitate. Study every point of truth, that you may know for yourselves what is truth in distinction from error. Let students search for themselves, that they may know the deep things of God. Let this work be done in the Spirit of Christ. Put no restriction upon the students. In searching the Scriptures, there is need of great humility of mind and contrition of heart, of seeking earnestly unto God. Those who come in a lowly spirit, seeking for truth, will be aided in their search by the angels of God. The Lord will raise up men to bear the message of truth to the world and to His people. If those in responsible positions do not move onward in the opening providences of God, bearing an appropriate message for this time, the words of warning will be given to others who will be faithful to their trust. Even youthful Christians will be chosen to cry aloud and spare not. A new element must be brought into our Sabbath school work in every church, not an element of contention, but one of piety and purity. Self-esteem and self-sufficiency are so prevalent that the words of the true witness apply to many members of the Sabbath school. The true witness says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. What is the character of the religious experience of those who take part in the Sabbath school work? The light of truth has been shining in the minds and hearts of teachers and scholars, that they may diffuse it to those who are out of Christ. The saving message is to be given to those who have not yet opened their hearts to receive the heavenly gift. The truth must be urged upon the attention of those who seem indifferent. If all felt a burden for the souls for whom Christ died, how intense would be the interest in every agency employed for the salvation of souls? How little our thoughts would be upon the indulgence of self, upon display in dress, and upon seeking for amusement. How little money would be expended for entertainments and pleasure if we realized the importance of investing our means in the cause of God, which demands every penny not needed for actual wants. Pray that the Holy Spirit may come to your hearts, and then you will wear Christ's yoke and bear his burden, and grow into complete union with Jesus. Our views are too narrow. We need a more extended vision, that we may take in the wants of the cause. What the cause most needs is consecrated young men and women who feel a personal responsibility for the advance of the work, and who will cooperate with divine agencies to shed light into the moral darkness of the world. Many who profess to be Christians do not more than half believe the Word of God. They do not study it earnestly, but waste precious time in reading novels and storybooks. A mere intellectual understanding of the Word of God will not be sufficient to influence the habits of the life, for the life is regulated by the condition of the heart. When Sabbath school teachers have taught the lessons of external revelation, their work is but just begun, and they should not cease their labor until they have evidence that the precepts of heaven are not only accepted by the understanding of the pupil, but written upon the heart. When the living oracles are engraven on the tablets of the heart, the work is not in vain, for the inner life of the scholar has been changed, and the love of God will become an abiding principle in the soul. The seed of gospel truth must take deep root in the heart and be made manifest by precious fruits born in the life. July 1, 1892. What it means to be a laborer with God. Ellen G. White. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Where sincere piety is lacking, where daily communion with God is neglected, the teacher in the Sabbath school will be dry and tedious in his manner of teaching. His words will have no power to reach the hearts of his pupils. To be laborers together with God means a great deal more than merely to go to Sabbath school and attend the services of the church and take part in the work of teaching and in bearing testimony in the social service. To be a laborer together with God means that your heart is drawn out in strong desire for the salvation of the sinful souls for whom Christ has died. It means that you are filled with solicitude for the work, that you are ever planning to make your instruction interesting, to devise ways that you may draw with every entrusted power of your nature along the lines in which Christ is drawing, that souls may be won to his service and be bound to him by the cords of his infinite love. Laborers together with God do not feel like shrinking from sacred obligations, but for Christ's sake they are willing to endure toil, to suffer privation and reproach. They are willing to meet with repulses, though this is hard to bear and humiliating to human pride. But the laborer, together with God, will remember that Jesus bore shame and insult, rejection and death, that he might save those who were lost. Every part of the varied labor in the harvest field means sacrifice and self-denial. It means that the time usually spent in matters of minor importance should be spent in searching the Scriptures, that you may know how to labor successfully in the work to which you are appointed. It means that you must become acquainted with the Spirit of God. It means that you must do much praying and have much serious thought as to how you may put to use every capability of your nature and carry forward the work of God effectively. You are God's employed servants, delegated to build up His kingdom in the earth, and you are to do your part in saving the souls for whom Christ has paid the price of His own blood. Is it then a slight matter to teach in the Sabbath school without a preparation of heart for this momentous work? Many who undertake teaching a class feel little interest in it, and they mar the sacred work by their unconsecrated efforts. Teachers and workers in every department of the Sabbath school work, I address you in the fear of God and tell you that unless you have a living connection with God and are often before Him in earnest prayer, you will not be able to do your work with heavenly wisdom and win souls for Christ. The worker for God must be clothed with humility as with a garment. The Lord will recognize and bless the humble worker who has a teachable spirit, a reverential love for truth and righteousness, wherever such a worker may be. If you are thus, you will show a care for your scholars by making special efforts for their salvation. You will come close to them in loving sympathy, visiting them at their homes, learning their true condition by conversing with them concerning their experience in the things of God, and you will bear them in the arms of your faith to the throne of the Father. It will do no good to reprimand and accuse and fret at your scholars when they manifest a spirit of unrest and mischievousness. Remember, you are to be a patient laborer together with God, and that all heaven is interested in the work you are doing, and any part in the work of God means toil and travail of soul. Be strong, quit you like men. Ask of your Master, who submitted to humiliation and who endured the death of the cross, what he would have you to do. Take all your entrusted talents with you into the work and put them out to the exchangers. Through the grace of Christ, you will be able to do a precious work for the Master. The wealth of divine resource is at your command, and through prayer and faith, you may lay hold on the promises of God and appropriate them to your need. Consecrate yourself and your all to the service of Him who hath loved you and hath given Himself for you. Jesus says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." This means in the Sabbath school work as much as in the work of the minister. Now is the golden opportunity to sow precious seed that will spring up and bear fruit unto eternal life. Now you may be a savor of life unto life. For when you can impart to others truth that you have gained through a deep experience, it has a life-giving power that will impress hearts and draw them to Jesus. When Jesus is drawing and His collaborators are working in harmony with Him, hard indeed must be the heart that will not be impressed and subdued by the power of divine love. August 1, 1892. The All-Important Lesson. Ellen G. White. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Unless the mind is continually disciplined by thorough work in investigating lines of truth, it will be controlled by slothful habits, and do but the most superficial work. Those who permit themselves to sink into this state of indolence will take for truth the assertions of others, and their acquirements will be of a low and cheap order. The mind thus bound about will be satisfied with a limited round of thought, and its possessor will not even suspect that there are rich mines of truth to be worked, where they might become rich in the acquirement of heavenly treasures. I have been shown by the Lord that there are depths of truth beyond the short line of measurement which has been made by those who profess to believe the truth. Many think that they are rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, when they are poor and miserable and blind and naked, and have need of everything. They think that they know everything that is worth knowing, when the fact of the matter is that they know nothing that is worth knowing. In the greatness of their ignorance, in the poverty of their spirit, they feel that they have attained unto the measure of the full stature of men and women in Christ, when they are mere babes in understanding. They have grown to be conceited, egotistical, and the Lord says to them, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne." God calls upon the young men and women to bring earnest, vigorous, intellectual effort into the work. The mind's best powers will sustain high effort, and success will crown those who reach for an elevated attainment. If the young who are strong will put to the stretch their powers in searching the Bible, they will have minds stored with valuable knowledge that will shine as a light upon those with whom they associate. The Sabbath school should be a place where those who have made advancement in divine knowledge should be able to inculcate fresh ideas in regard to the faith of God's people. When all those who profess to be Christians are Christians in deed and in truth, the Sabbath school will be no longer a dry round of service. The teachers will then understand the lesson that Christ gave to Nicodemus, and will teach it in all its momentous bearing on human destiny. Jesus said to the ruler in Israel, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Except a man be born again, he cannot understand the character of the heavenly kingdom, or discern its spiritual nature. Christ was saying to Nicodemus in these words, "It is not learning you need so much, as it is inward renovation. You need not to have your curiosity satisfied so much as to have a new heart, and until that change takes place, making all things new, it will result in no saving good to you for me to discuss with you my authority, my work, my mission as one who bears the credentials of heaven." The lesson which Christ gave to Nicodemus is important to every teacher, to every Sabbath school worker, to every youth and child. It is certainly important that we become acquainted with the reasons of our faith, but the most important knowledge to be gained is the experimental knowledge of what it means to be born again. The great want in our Sabbath school work is the want of the light of life. All through our ranks are needed men and women who have learned at the feet of Jesus what is truth and how to present it to others. It requires holy men, men who have humility, who are adding in Christ, to be educators of our youth in the Sabbath school. Nicodemus came to the Lord, thinking to enter into a long discussion with him concerning points of minor importance. But Jesus laid bare the first principles of truth and showed Nicodemus that his first need was humility of heart, a teachable spirit, a new heart. That if he would enter into the kingdom of God, he must be born again. Are there not those who hold responsible positions in the Sabbath school who would be irritated and annoyed if I should testify to them that though they are rulers in Israel, they too need to be born again? Nicodemus wondered that Christ should speak to him in the way which he did, not respecting his position as ruler in Israel. And he was not prepared to receive the truth, and he answered Christ in words full of irony. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He revealed the fact, as do many, when the cutting truth is brought home to the conscience, that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. There is nothing in them that responds to spiritual things, for spiritual things are spiritually discerned. But although Nicodemus did not comprehend his words, Jesus did not become impatient or discouraged, but sought to make more plain his statement of truth. In solemn, quiet dignity, Jesus repeated his words in a manner that would convince him of their divine truth. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. While Jesus was speaking, the Spirit of God was impressing the heart of the proud rabbi, and it was in a hushed tone and humble manner that Nicodemus inquired, How can these things be? Jesus brought the truth home to his soul, saying, Art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The work of the Holy Spirit upon the heart is shrouded in mystery. It can no more be explained than can the operation of the winds. The Lord has never explained to humanity how the soul is impressed by the Spirit of God, affecting the mind and heart of the believer, or how the Spirit puts words into the mouth of the Lord's messengers to give to his people. The prophets, who were especially enlightened by the Spirit of God, often could not understand the meaning of the words they wrote upon the paper, or explain the significance of what they uttered when the Spirit caused them to speak. But the word of the Lord accomplished the very work which he designed that it should, and the fruits of the work testified to its divine character. The religion that comes from God is the only religion that will lead to God. The character of the work that comes forth will testify as to the fountain from which the worker has drawn. Those who go to Jesus with humble and contrite heart, with broken, submissive spirit, will be given freely of the water of the river of life. they will be refreshed and strengthened, and Christ will be in them as a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Every true Christian is a living fountain, ever receiving of the unfailing streams of grace, ever refreshed, and ever refreshing those that are around him. Those who are co-workers with God manifest a missionary spirit, for they are ever receiving, that they may ever be giving to others the light and blessing of heaven. Those who open their hearts to receive largely will be able to give largely. How sad it is to think of the great amount of mechanical work that is done in the Sabbath school, while there is little evidence that there is moral transformation in the souls of those who teach and who are taught. When the work of the Spirit of God is felt upon the heart, we shall see many earnestly seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then earthly things will find their proper, subordinate position, and heavenly things will be supreme in the affections of the children of God. September 1, 1892. The Need of Consecrated Teachers. Ellen G. White.
For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Those who engage in Sabbath school work should be persons who have consecrated themselves to God. They should be men and women of strong faith and warm sympathies, who are fervent of spirit and interested in all that pertains to the cause of Christ. They should give themselves to the work with unselfish endeavor, and at whatever sacrifice it may require, laying themselves on the altar and pleading with strong crying and tears for the conversion of the youth who have been committed to their charge. Among those who would work for the Lord in the Sabbath school, let all selfish ambition be crucified, and let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let it be the Sabbath school workers' first ambition to educate the youth to do their duty in the fear of God and with simplicity. The great want in the Sabbath school is not the want of machinery, but the want of knowledge in spiritual things. How greatly do the workers need a baptism of the Holy Spirit, that they may become true missionaries for God. They should learn to tax their minds to the utmost, that they may acquire a better knowledge of Bible truth. The teachers in the Sabbath school should pray daily for the enlightenment of heaven, that they may be able to open to the minds of the youth the treasures of the sacred word. Why not humble yourselves before the Lord, and let the impression of the Holy Spirit be manifested upon your character and work? There is far too much self-complacency among those who engage in Sabbath school work, too much machinery and routine, and all this tends to lead the soul away from the fountain of living water. There was a time in the history of our work when the workers felt the necessity of counseling with those who had experience, when they realized the need of the guidance of the Lord in all that pertained to His work. But that time is past, and the true missionary spirit has departed from the hearts of many of our professed workers. The Lord desires that those who are engaged in the Sabbath school work shall be missionaries, able to go forth to the towns and villages that surround the church and give the light of life to those who sit in darkness. He would not have the young men feel that they must confine themselves to the Sabbath school work to the exclusion of this missionary work that so much needs to be done. For in making an effort for those who know not the truth, they would gain an experience that would enlarge their minds and deepen their sympathies. The Lord would have young men and women who are rooted and grounded in the truth take advantage of means that will serve to enlarge their conceptions of His work. Let the youth who have a solid experience in the things of God enter seminaries and colleges and learn to meet the people on their own ground. In this way, they may finish their education and may become light bearers to those with whom they are called to associate. They will have to meet obstacles in presenting the truth, but these will but make them feel their dependence upon God, and will lead them to seek wisdom from above in order that they may conduct themselves in a way that will have a saving influence upon those for whose salvation they are working. In giving His Son to come into the world and die for fallen man, the Lord has done His part. For all heaven was poured out to man in that one rich gift. And now, God waits for the cooperation of those who have a knowledge of the love of Christ. Let no one think that because he is poor and has but a humble position in life, he cannot become a missionary for the Lord. The work of Christ, the majesty of heaven, was begun in poverty and humiliation. The parents of Christ were in very humble circumstances, and the Prince of Life labored with his own hands at the carpenter's bench, that he might help to meet the wants of the family. He took his place in the world as a common day laborer, and he has the tenderest sympathy for those who are struggling to obtain knowledge under difficulties. If those who cannot have advantages such as they would desire will but look at the experience of hardship, poverty, and humiliation that Christ endured for their sake, they will see that they have no need to be sad or discouraged. Let those who would work for God trust implicitly in Him, for through the influence of the Divine Spirit, through simple, living faith in God, men and women, however humble, may become powerful agents in His hands to win souls to Christ. For genuine experience in the things of God is not gained through natural means. To be continued. October 1st, 1892. The Need of Consecrated Teachers. Concluded. Ellen G. White. There are some who depend upon their reasoning powers and undertake to explain the mysteries of God's Word through a process of reasoning. But such will find themselves at last ignorant both of the Scriptures and of the power of God. The Lord has endowed us with reasoning powers that we may not be blindly credulous in our reception of truth. For reason has its part to act. In searching for truth, the Lord would have us put to the stretch all our powers of mind, that we may be intelligent in the deep things of His Word. But let everyone remember that the world by wisdom knew not God. The Spirit of God must make the right impression upon the mind, or the searcher will not discern spiritual things. The Sun of Righteousness must shed forth His bright beams, or the darkened mind will not be enlightened. He who receives the light and walks in it will follow the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But he who refuses the aid of the Holy Spirit in seeking to understand the Word of God will choose darkness rather than light, for he will walk in the sparks of his own kindling and will lie down in sorrow. Then, accepting the enlightenment of the Divine Spirit, let the youth search the Word for themselves, remembering that they are under the tutorship of the greatest teacher the world ever knew. Jesus has said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." The Lord would not have any of you rest satisfied with the expositions of others, with the current, popular opinions of those who are termed the leading men. Their expositions are not infallible, and you are not to accept their ideas until you have compared Scripture with Scripture, and know for yourself that they harmonize with the living oracles. You are to know for yourselves what saith the Scripture. The Lord has revealed His will in His precious Word. He has laid out His truth in clear lines, that we all may become familiar with the plan of salvation and its object, and become workmen who need not to be ashamed, but able rightly to divide the word of truth. In order to do the will of God, we must search His Word, that we may know His doctrine, and put to the task all our entrusted ability. We must be diligent in prayer and fervent in simple, wholehearted service to God. Those who are engaged as teachers in the Sabbath school should hunger and thirst for divine truth, that they may impart this spirit to those under their care, and lead their pupils to seek for truth as for hidden treasure. We do not want our Sabbath schools conducted in such a way as to make hypocrites of the pupils, for such cannot advance the interests of true religion. Then let there be more attention given to seeking God, that the Spirit of the Lord may be in your school, than that you may have every mechanical arrangement you may desire. High pretensions of any kind are out of place in Sabbath school work, and the mechanical working of the school is of little value if the Spirit of God does not soften and mold the hearts of the teachers and pupils. Throughout our ranks, there must be more earnest devotion to God and less dependence on form and ceremony. Not only are there Sabbath school teachers who need the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, but there are ministers whose lips must be touched with a live coal from off the altar, or they will not reach the souls of the lost. They must be awake to the value of the hidden treasures of truth, and never be satisfied until Christ is formed within, the hope of glory. They cannot refresh others with the waters of life if Christ is not within them as a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. There are some who profess to be ministers of Christ whose sole resource is a stated number of old, dry discourses. They preach on certain subjects over and over, and have lost sight of the fact that they might have a recourse to the treasure house of heaven, from which they could bring forth things both new and old. They fail to bring to the people the lessons which Christ taught to His disciples, and the people of God are starving for the bread of life, for they desire to know what they must do to be saved. Let not the teacher in Sabbath school follow the example of those who do not grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even though those who minister in the sacred desk have given them such an example. He who would be accepted as a laborer together with God must not be found imitating the tone, manners, or ideas of any other man. He must learn of God and be endowed with heavenly wisdom. God has given the gift of reason and intellect to one worker the same as He has to another, and according to your ability, you are to put your talents out to the exchangers. The Lord would not have any worker a mere shadow of another whom He admires. The teacher must grow up into the measure of the stature of Christ, not to the measure of some finite, erring mortal. You are to grow in grace. And where is grace to be found? Only in Christ, the divine pattern. Then let everyone look to Christ and copy the divine model. Let every worker tax his powers to the utmost to work in harmony with the plan of God. Let him learn in the school of Christ that he may be wise in instructing others. Those who are committed to the care of the teacher in the Sabbath school will need the wisdom and experience that God can give to the follower of Christ. Let the teacher learn of Christ meekness and lowliness of heart, that he may be a true teacher and win his pupils to Christ, that they, in turn, may become faithful missionaries in the great harvest field. December 1st, 1892. Treatment of Erring Pupils, Ellen G. White. God has given us a revelation disclosing to us divine acquirements. The Lord has presented our duties before us in relation to Himself and to our fellow men. None of us are excusable in following our own way, choosing our own course of action. For God's will and God's way have been presented to us in clear light. We are to represent the character of Christ, to sever from us every disposition, every trait of character that, if cherished, would make us an influence to lead souls away from Christ in place of leading them to Him. As the Bible is a revelation of the will of God to man, we should earnestly study that we may know what is truth and how to practice it. In Sabbath school work, we shall be called upon to deal with those who make mistakes, who fall into sin and error. Christ has given us lessons in His Word that are very plain in regard to the treatment of the erring, but many have failed to practice these lessons. They have not studied and treasured them in the heart, so that the Holy Spirit could enlighten the darkened understanding and melt and break the stony heart of both teacher and pupil. The Holy Spirit will make the heart sensitive, sympathetic, and rid it of pride and selfishness. Pupils in Sabbath school are likely to do that which will annoy the teacher by their misconduct. But the teacher must not speak sharp words and manifest an uncontrolled spirit, for in so doing, he will not be using the sword of the Spirit, but the weapons of Satan. Although the misconduct of the scholar is trying, although the evil must be corrected, the rules observed and justice respected, yet let the teacher keep the way of the Lord and mingle mercy with justice. Let him look to the cross of Calvary, beholding there how mercy and truth have met together, how righteousness and peace have kissed each other. There, through the divine sacrifice, man may be reconciled to God. In contemplating the love of Christ, your heart will be softened to deal with the youth as with younger members of the Lord's family. You will remember that they are Christ's property, and your disposition will be to deal with them after the manner in which Christ has dealt with you. Harsh dealing will never help the youth to see his errors or aid him to reform. Let the rules and regulations of the school be carried out in the Spirit of Jesus, and when reproof must be given, let this disagreeable work be done with sorrow blended with love. Do not feel that it is your work to openly rebuke the pupil and thus humiliate him before the whole school. This will not be a proper example to set before the children, for it will be as seed that will bear a like harvest. Never publish the errors of any pupil outside the circle in which they must be known, for if this is done, sympathy will be created for the wrongdoer by leaving an impression on the mind that he has been dealt with unjustly. By exposing the wrongdoer, he may be thrown upon Satan's battlefield and from that moment go steadily downward. Christ bears long with us, and we must be Christ-like. He does not cut us off because of our errors, but reproves in tenderness and by love draws us close to Himself. If teachers see that it is impossible to bring a student under the discipline of the class, let him be removed to another class, for it may be that another teacher may be able to supply the deficiency. What one teacher lacks, another may possess, but if you can obtain the confidence of the youth and bind him to your heart through cords of sympathy and love, you may win a soul to Christ. The wayward, self-willed, independent boy may become transformed in character. But while it is necessary to manifest love and sympathy for your pupils, it is a manifest weakness to show partiality and thus arouse suspicion and jealousy. Children are quick to discern the preferences of the teacher, and the favored student often measures his strength, his aptness, and skill with that of the teacher in the management of the class. He may decide to be master, and, unless the teacher has the grace of Christ, he will manifest weakness, become impatient, exacting, and severe. The leading spirit of the class will generally impart his purpose to other students, and there will be a combined effort to obtain the mastery. If the teacher, through the grace of Christ, is self-controlled and holds the lines with a steady, patient hand, he will quell the boisterous element, keep his self-respect, and command the respect of his students. When once order is restored, let kindness, gentleness, and affection be manifested. It may be that rebellion will rise again and again, but let not the hasty temper appear. Do not speak sharply to the evildoer, and discourage a soul who is struggling with the powers of darkness. Be still, and let your heart ascend in prayer to God for help. Angels will come close to your side and help you to lift up the standard against the enemy, and, instead of cutting off the erring one, you may be enabled to gain a soul for Christ.